Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plotlines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
Yep, that's about right.
Less Valley Girl, more Final Girl.
Is everybody ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this.
Let's do it. All right, so we're doing Halloween with Mike Myers. Not the serial killer Mike Myers, the actor Mike Myers, who was really big around 2002. Are we thinking that he's a shapeshifter, that we're incorporating lots of different characters in?
Well, Michael Myers, the serial killer, is actually referred to as the Shape, and he's like an evil entity. So he always takes the form of Michael Myers, but I think we could twist that to make sense for the actor Mike Myers and all of his characters.
I would say that's a good case. I'm thinking we get Austin Powers. I'm thinking we get Wayne. I'm thinking we get Dr. Evil, and we get Shrek.
And Cat in the Hat.
Oh, and we're doing Cat in the Hat?
The Cat in the Hat is the most terrifying of the Michael Myers personalities.
This is true.
Let's be real.
But hear me out on this. The Love Guru.
Oh, God, sweet mother of Jesus.
What?
That might even be going too far.
We've gone too far.
Counterpoint. No one knows what the Love Guru is.
Nor should they.
Was that his last movie that he starred in?
I think so, yeah.
Because he had supporting roles after that, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's been done pretty much ever since.
Yeah, that was his last big movie.
I mean, not career killing, because I don't think his career is quite over yet, but, career putting into a coma event.
Yeah.
His career is definitely on life support at this point.
You know, maybe we can start it off with the reason why Mike Myers decides to kill is because he was seriously, tragically affected by the plotline of So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, okay. That's very meta.
Which, if you guys don't remember that, that is a very old Mike Myers movie.
Yep.
From like the 80s, I believe.
I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it either.
Decent soundtrack is what I remember from that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's, obviously it's, some stereotypical, almost slasher, almost comedy kind of feel to it. But the music itself is quite nice. Very quintessential for the 80s.
He was traumatized by So I Married an Axe Murderer, which I have not seen, but I assume he's an axe murderer or
his wife is. He finds out that his wife or believes that his wife is secretly an axe murderer. And so goes on like a crazy quest to find out if she is and then escape her wrath. I think that, that's what kind of prompts him to become a serial killer.
What a random plot for a movie.
Which is true, but it's also more of there's not a whole lot of reasoning given behind why Michael Myers in the Halloween franchise is the way he is. He's just the embodiment of evil who manages to essentially traumatize himself by committing his first murder at age 8 or 9.
That's right.
So quite frankly, that's a perfectly good reason, if not a bigger one, than what we're given with from the source material.
So Mike Myers was in the plot of So I Married an Axe Murderer, and that traumatized him. And now he can shapeshift. So I'm thinking for the first scene, because the first scene involves him like walking in the original Mike Myers. It has him like walking through the house and then like stalking this girl who's undressing. So I was thinking for this version, he's walking through the house, sees the girl undressing, and then flip over the camera. And then it's Austin Powers. And he's just like, oh, behave, as the girl is undressing.
I love it.
Which would be very interesting because it's saying one of the things that sets Michael Myers off in particular is sex and sexuality. And what we see from that famous POV shot in the beginning is a couple making out and going upstairs, at which point he walks into the kitchen, grabs a knife. By the time he rounds the corner, the guy is coming down the stairs, to pump chump. But even so, which leads me to believe he should have been the one who was killed, but that's neither here nor there. And then seeing the sight of his sister topless, knowing that she's just done this awful, terrible, disgusting, perfectly natural thing, is what sets him off to start stabbing. So the fact that Mike Myers, as Austin Powers, the most oversexed man in the 1970s, is turned off by sexuality is quite amusing. I just made that sound really boring.
Yeah. Okay.
Sex ed with Sean.
I think one question, are we going to have him hunt his sister or Jamie Lee Curtis, or who is he ultimately going to be hunting down? Because I think that that's going to play a factor in how he hunts and what he does.
What if who he hunts is Garth from Wayne's World?
Dana Carvey.
Can we take something from another Halloween movie and have him fight Busta Rhymes?
Oh my God.
What?
Halloween Resurrection.
Canonically, the way Michael Myers is finally defeated is in a kung fu battle with Busta Rhymes.
It is one of the most insane pieces of the Halloween franchise.
And thank God it was retconned out of existence.
Who does Mike Myers want to kill and why? So if Mike Myers, the actor, is having this traumatic experience from the movie plot that he was forced to be into, then is he trying to kill his agent? Is he trying to kill Hollywood starlets? Because it still has to be a scary flasher.
That's a good question. Who is he trying to kill?
Because honestly, if it was Jamie Lee Curtis, that bitch wouldn't last 2 seconds.
You talking about Mike Myers?
Yeah, because Jamie Lee Curtis is a badass. At least if you've seen the remake.
Oh, yes.
She is pretty bad. Let's see, who would he want to kill? Maybe his agent for putting him in the Love Guru?
Does he have any ex-wives?
Not that I know of.
He does have one ex-wife, yes.
Let's not have him murder an ex-wife. Putting my foot down on that one. I insist we not do that. What if he wants to just kill a bunch of other Hollywood stars because he thinks that they're bigger stars than he is and he's jealous?
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
He just shows up to random places, random houses.
That means that we can make Dana Carvey, the psychologist, who comes and tries to talk his friend Wayne down to being more chill in the end.
Dana Carvey as Dr. Loomis.
Yes.
But it's as Garth as the doctor.
So Michael Myers, the actor, has been admitted to a hospital for the Hollywood criminally insane. His cell is right next to Tom Cruise's.
They're strapping down Liza Minnelli.
Bill Gibson's right down the hall.
It's great, you know. He somehow escapes.
Okay.
How does he escape?
He shapeshifts into Shrek, and Shrek just totally, beats everybody up as he runs out.
Like, almost like the Incredible Hulk. He just goes full ogre rage.
I was just going to say the Hulk.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the Shrek becomes the Incredible Hulk, and he just runs his way out.
He plows down walls. He charms his way out, just like escaping from the dragon with absolutely zero physical training in combat. He's able to defeat a dragon. That's how he gets out of this mental asylum for the celebrity insane.
Exactly.
That's right. Mike Myers as Shrek escapes, and now this crazy person is on the loop, and Tom Cruise tries to run and get his way out, but despite Tom Cruise's incredible running capabilities, he is tackled right at the exit.
Well, I think that's how they figure out that Mike is missing, is because there's some nurse at the nurse's station that suddenly looks up and they see some random person jumping on couches, and they're like, why is Tom Cruise out of his cell? And that's how they discover that he's escaped.
Oh, good. I like that. Okay. Mike Myers has escaped. What happens next? Should he have an abandoned house that people say that that's where Mike Myers lives?
So what happens next is he basically carjacks Dr. Loomis and manages to drive back to Haddonfield, Illinois in Halloween. He's got to acquire some sort of transportation to make his way back to his haunted house, or perhaps in this case, a film studio or something like that.
Yeah.
Can he steal a Tesla autopilot?
Oh, what he could steal is the, what the hell's it called? I think it's called the Crunk Car, the Cat in the Hat's car.
Oh, God.
The Crunk Car.
Believe it or not, Dr. Seuss invented the word crunk.
That's awesome.
Little John can thank Dr. Seuss.
Yes, because Little John has an album called Crunk Juice, which I've heard is the Sgt. Pepper of 2000s rap albums.
It's also a beverage that includes a Red Bull, some sugar packets, and some pixie sticks.
Why?
That just sounds delicious. I'm going to have one right after this.
I mean, that's at least what they said in my school. I don't know what it actually is.
Laura, you should have that with your scotch.
Hard pass.
All right, so the Crunk Car is this giant robotic machine with two legs and a steering wheel.
Why?
Yeah, that's perfect for the movie.
That's from the actual book, I think.
Okay, that's from Cat in the Hat. So he's driving the Cat in the Hat car around, which is not inconspicuous at all.
And he reaches an old abandoned Hollywood studio theater where maybe they, you know, used to film some of his movies in the heyday.
Yes, that's where they filmed Austin Powers back when he was big.
Back when everybody gave a crap.
Yeah, he's still big. It's the movies that got small.
And he hears the memories of Lorne Michaels whispering in his ear.
So he arrives, and the first person he kills should be the old on-guard night watchman. You know, that quintessential dude with, like, the blue cap and hat who's wandering around these abandoned spooky grounds at night just with armed with a flashlight and a minimum wage paycheck that is just there to make sure that the raccoons aren't, like, getting out of hand or something. And he hears a suspicious noise, and so he goes to check it out. And that is the first person who Mike Myers kills. How does he kill him?
I was thinking we have Danny Trejo play him, since he was kind of like that role in the Rob Zombie version. Has anyone else seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
I have seen it. Yep.
Doesn't he, like, smash a TV over his head or something?
Yes, because he's, like, an orderly at the mental hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Laura also touched on something here. The way that Michael gets his outfit in the movie is that he just kills a random truck driver and steals his jumpsuit.
Bingo.
This is exactly how he gets his costume, as he apparently is taking Danny Trejo's clothing.
His skin.
Jesus, what the hell is happening?
His skin, Jesus Christ, Josh.
That's Silence of the Lambs, right genre, wrong actor.
Yes.
So he steals the night watchman's uniform in order to walk inconspicuously around the Hollywood studios. And then, of course, the alarm goes out because Dana's character, the doctor, is, you know, catches wind that he's escaped and immediately goes to the hospital to investigate and puts out, like, an all warning bulletin to all of the actors and things that Mike has ever worked with. Like, oh my God, everybody be on guard. Michael Myers is loose and it's Halloween.
He gets that frantic phone call from Lorne Michaels, who's saying, activate the Myers protocol.
Yeah, right.
Because we all knew this day was going to come.
And everyone's really worried, because how are we going to distinguish him from everyone else if everyone's in wacko costumes and acting weird and drunk? Like, they're never going to be able to distinguish Mike Myers from a crazy dressed up dude from Halloween.
There are some roles where he blends in quite nicely. If you've ever seen Inglourious Basterds.
Right! He played the Winston Churchill guy, didn't he?
He did, yep.
Holy shit. Totally forgot that. So he's a master of disguise.
So is Dana Carvey.
Oh, for the love of...
I saw that movie in the theaters.
I did too. I was like 8 years old. It was great.
Yeah, as a kid, I watched that probably like 50 times.
Oh, God bless your parents, Josh.
My mom pretended to have a good time with us there. I never knew she was a good actor. But...
yeah, had to get it from someplace.
Ha, true.
It wasn't your father who looked exactly like you.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to look like in 30 years. What's happening now with Mike Myers going around?
He's still kind of hanging around these Hollywood studios, picking off the actors that he believes, you know, wronged him one by one in the shadows. So I think one of the first people he has to pick off is his agent. So his agent is, you know, all important, on the cell phone, walking around the actually occupied half of the film studio, you know, staying away from the one that's being, you know, renovated or whatever for the next movie, which is the abandoned one where Mike Myers is actually staying. And walking around and too busy to take awareness of their surroundings. Mike Myers is slowly following his agent. Now, what is he dressed as to follow his agent?
Maybe he's dressed as Dr. Evil. No, I know who he should go as. He should go as Fat Bastard. And he follows his agent around as Fat Bastard. The agent hears louder footsteps. And then eventually he turns around and sees Fat Bastard. And then Fat Bastard just, Kevin, I'm going to eat you. And then starts running after him. And the agent is able to outrun him eventually. But then Mike Myers is able to catch up to him and just grabs him. He's just like, this is for the love guru. And he just destroys him.
And he just completely demolishes him. So yeah, so then he kills that guy and then, you know, creeps back into the shadows. Meanwhile, so Dana Carvey is trying to think. It's got to be a shot of him in his office, like with every DVD collection of everything Mike Myers has ever done, including all the SNL stuff. And he's trying to think, like, where would he go? What would he do? And so he's making plans to go to this old Hollywood set because he figures that's where Mike is going to go. Probably because that's where they filmed The Love Guru and that's the last place he ever really worked or whatever. As he travels there, the, you know, Hollywood Halloween party starts on the studio lot. And all of these people are all partying in this, you know, warehouse or side lot or something. And so Mike Myers starts creeping up on the crowd.
What if he tried to kill SNL stars who he thought had better careers than him?
That's perfect.
Yep, he's got to start axing the people who are actually relatively successful. So it's got to be the Eddie Murphys, the Tina Fey's.
Adam Sandler.
Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, if we want to imagine that Chris Farley is still with us.
Well, Farley's already dead, so let's say definitely Adam Sandler, because him and Adam Sandler, yeah.
Could there be a brief moment of confusion where he goes to kill who he thinks is Chris Farley, and then he realizes it's David Spade, and he lets him go?
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Yes, yes. Because there are like, meager escapes in Halloween to people who get super close to him but just get out of harm's length, like, just in time, you know, or, like, they live the house over.
Here's what it is. One of the SNL 90s alums lived at a certain place, and he goes to the house, but then he sees it's David Spade and doesn't care because he's not jealous of David Spade.
He creeps around David Spade's very modest Hollywood Hills mansion to try to kill him, peeks into a side window and sees David Spade just, like, sitting there on the couch holding two DVDs of what he used to act like and just sobbing openly into
his hand. He's watching Joe Dirt.
He's watching Joe Dirt and just questioning all of his things. He's got the contract for Tiger King on the table in front of him, trying to decide whether or not to do it. And Mike Myers pities him so much, he passes on murdering him.
His next victim should be Eddie Murphy, but he goes to Eddie Murphy's house. But then when he gets there, it's as Shrek. He enters the house as Shrek. And then he's, like, running around Eddie Murphy's house as Eddie Murphy's just chilling at his house, sipping a glass of wine, whatever Eddie Murphy does, you know, thinking about getting a paycheck for Nutty Professor Five. But then he looks up and sees an intruder, and it's Shrek. And then he's stunned to see that Shrek is actually real, standing in front of him. And then Shrek has an axe and just chases Eddie Murphy around.
Now, is Shrek going to be, like, a hyper-realistic version?
Nah, that'd be creepy. That'd be weird. We'll just have him be animated.
It's a horror movie.
No, but, like, that looks so stupid.
I think that would be even creepier is that Mike Myers, through his many talents, has the ability of making himself look as realistic as possible for these roles. And so he has, maybe with, like, the previous people that he's killed, he, like, you know, he's got some training in costume design or whatever. He sews together their flesh to make his face a little bit bigger and puts green grease paint on himself so he can look just like Shrek. And, like,
oh, my God,
has taken two people's ears and pinched them together to be on the top of his head to make him look like an ogre. So this Mike Myers is coming at Eddie Murphy with this grotesque cadaver suit of Shrek that he has made, and he busts in the door and just yells at Eddie Murphy, "Donkey!" And Eddie Murphy freaks out and starts to run. And maybe because they work together and they were such, like, Shrek and Donkey were such besties, maybe that's why Mike wants to kill Eddie Murphy. And maybe Eddie Murphy is the Jamie Lee Curtis character who gets to survive if he can fight him off.
Ooh, I just want to be clear that we said that going hyper-realistic might be too creepy, and that is what you suggested in its place, was going full Leatherface.
It's a scary movie, bitches. Come on. You can do it.
Sean, that's a good point. I never thought about that, but that is a very good point.
So Eddie Murphy is being chased around. Oh, Mikey, why are you doing this to me, man?
That's an interesting Eddie Murphy impression.
It's a young Eddie Murphy.
This is, oh, like from the 80s when he did Raw and Delirious.
You want to hear my Chris Rock?
Oh, let's not do that.
As Mike Myers is chasing Eddie Murphy through the house, maybe he's, like, gone full method and is just convinced that he's chasing Donkey around in, like, the first scene of Shrek or something, and that he's still angry at him.
Get out of my swamp.
Get out of my swamp! And is just chasing him around Eddie Murphy's own house while Eddie Murphy's trying to have a Halloween party. And and like smashing things on the wall and all of these things, everything that reminds him of like the money Hollywood life, he starts smashing and threatening. But I think that it's important that the people, the actors and stuff that are with him at the party, see this and think it's just a grand old joke. Oh, that Eddie Murphy, he is so clever. Look what he hired to scare us at his own Halloween party. Oh, how droll, you know, and are totally ignoring the danger. Because in Halloween, when he's on the street and people look up at him and like are looking at his scary mask and stuff, and some little kids sometimes like pass right by him and he doesn't affect them. Like he doesn't, you know,
pats them on the head and keeps walking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that has to be like one of these too.
Okay, that's smart. I like that. So eventually Eddie Murphy has to escape due to the, maybe he still has some Beverly Hills Cop moves and is able to escape. Okay, so Eddie Murphy's able to escape, and he should try and run to talk to the cops, but then they'll all think it. Then they'll all just be excited to see Eddie Murphy and be like, hey, you came back, man. We missed you. You were great on SNL. And that's it. But nobody believes him then that somebody's running around as Shrek trying to kill everybody. But here's the thing. Because Mike Myers can shapeshift. So when people don't know what to look for, because he tells them to look for a Shrek, but then Mike Myers will run around as like Dr. Evil or Austin Powers or Cat in the Hat. So people aren't sure who to look for as he's going around killing people.
And it's Halloween, so who's looking for a million different costumes in the middle of a Halloween party?
Yes, this is true. This is true.
All coming together.
It's the perfect place to hide. It's the perfect place to hide. So, okay, who's next on his murder list? I say Adam Sandler. Let's have him going after Mike Myers next.
What, himself?
I'll go after Adam Sandler.
I actually missed that until you pointed out, Sean.
Just he loses himself entirely in the role and tries to hunt himself down.
Oh, God.
It's not you that's got me. It's me that's got me. Okay, so he goes after Adam Sandler. He's jealous of Adam Sandler for being this huge movie star after all these years.
I can't help but think that when he finally acts as Adam Sandler, somebody in the background is just going to be like, thank you.
No, Adam Sandler should be, for Halloween, he should be dressed as the woman character from Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill is the...
Jill?
So, yeah, he's dressed as Jill. So, Jack and Jill, if you'll remember, is one of the worst fucking movies ever made, and B, it's the movie where Adam Sandler plays himself and his twin sister. It's awful.
Even worse than Little Nicky?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, that's saying something.
Is this taking place after he starred in Uncut Gems? Have you guys seen it?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's such a good movie. It came
Everybody
out
says it's great. But okay, let's say this is after Uncut Gems, but Mike Myers is just still is jealous of Adam Sandler being able to make terrible movies and still have a career.
Okay, so Eddie Murphy like runs temporarily into the panic room and calls the police, or out into the street and calls the police, but they're all just like, oh my God, it's Eddie Murphy, instead of actually taking him seriously. Hey, Beverly Hills Cop, can we get a picture with you? Can I get a selfie? In the meantime, Mike Myers is like, uh-oh, I can't go kill him while he's talking to the cops. Goes back to the party where he wanders into the kitchen and sees Adam Sandler like warming up a bunch of bagel bites or something, and is like, okay, here's my next dude.
But it's Adam Sandler as Jill warming up a bunch of bagel bites. Doing
correct.
The Jill voice.
Yes.
You gotta play Twister with your sister. Oh, God, that movie is one of the worst things ever.
You know what? I want to kill him now that you've said that.
Good. Good. Let the hate flow through you.
Oh, God, the cringe. It hurts so bad.
What are you cringing at? Thinking of Adam Sandler as Jill or me as Emperor Palpatine?
No, Adam Sandler is Jill.
There it is. Good. Everybody drink. He made a Star Wars reference. Everybody drink.
Hey.
Woo! It has to be one every episode. Who is he playing as he kills Adam Sandler? What if it's Wayne? Just because that was the main SNL character from when they were on SNL together.
Do we want to do the Love Guru?
Bad movie actor to bad movie actor. He looks at him as the Love Guru and says, I do not know why you were allowed to endure while I had to crawl back to the shadows or something. As bad character actor to bad character actor. And how does he kill Adam Sandler? Does he take those pigtails that he's wearing as a wig and strangle him with him?
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
So I'm going to offer a suggestion as well here. So what the Love Guru is known to do is play the sitar. Okay. In fact, in one ad, he played Sitar Hero. But Adam Sandler is well known for playing the guitar. Yes. And I cannot but wonder if perhaps they could sort of have a duel of sorts. Not necessarily like a head-cutting contest, but more like a sword fight with their instrument.
Or they could do like a Tenacious D rock battle.
Yes, which ultimately ends with, so the Love Guru's mantra, you know, the same way that, you know, for instance, a yogi might say namaste, an imam might say assalamu alaikum, a priest might say peace be with you. The Love Guru says Mariska Hargitay. And so I'm not even making that up. That's actually in the movie.
Shit.
Laura, do you think that's funny, or do you hate yourself so much?
I think that's funny because I know for a fact that Mariska Hargitay's character on Law and Order graduated from Siena College.
Yep. Where we went to school.
And not only that, but she graduated with a degree in criminal justice, a program which we do not offer, and was a member of a sorority which we do not have.
Isn't that funny?
Adam Sandler and Mike Myers are in a guitar sitar duel together. And at one point, Adam Sandler just starts breaking into the Hanukkah song, and like that's all he knows how to do. But then like Mike Myers is randomly able to just fucking shred on the sitar like he's George Harrison. And then like it just makes Adam Sandler burst into flames and he dies.
He plays the corn version of This Is Halloween on the sitar and just like goes after him with it.
Yes.
I love it. Horrifying.
That works. I like that. And then, Adam Sandler doesn't know what to do because then he just bursts into flames. Or he tries singing the Sloppy Joe song and it doesn't work. And then he's, you know, then it's done time for him.
What's Adam Sandler's last words going to be as he's burning?
I wish I'd made Jack and Jill too.
Yeah, it's just got to be that sort of whiny baby voice making a noise that he always does.
Oh, it's getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, like not at all grasping the severity of the situation.
Or he should say, fuck you, Academy. I should have gotten nominated for an Oscar.
That's what he says in a super serious voice.
Yes.
As he's fading into crazy flames, he says in that crazy voice, but I made Spanglish. And just like, I don't
know. Oh, God.
How many of his movies are we going to reference? We've got to tighten this shit up.
You know, Connor, my favorite song by The Who is also my favorite song by Adams, or my favorite movie by Adam Sandler. That's Rain or Me.
That's a great song, great movie. Not sure how it's relevant here.
Well, you know, we were talking about more Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a great movie. It is a great movie.
Adam Sandler has died.
Yes.
Right? He died.
He did. He gone.
He was playing, they were playing a guitar sitar off, which means that people were gathered around them when they were doing this. And so when he dies at the end of this, because Mike Myers kills him and Mike Myers just stands up very ominously and like starts pointing to the crowd like they're next, you have all of these crazy Hollywood actors and actresses and producers and all these people start to panic and realize that they're in some deep shit. This is for real.
Yep.
That's right.
Then it's mass chaos, which takes the attention of Eddie Murphy, who in the meantime, poor Dana has been driving like a bat out of hell toward the house because he, you know, caught wind that that's where he was and is going to end up like squealing up to the house just in time. But in the meantime, Eddie Murphy's again being chased around the house by Mike Myers, and there's a bunch of other actors and actresses in the way. Maybe Tina Fey is like in the hallway waiting for the bathroom and has no idea what's going on, and Mike Myers just walks down the hallway and he's dressed as, what else could he, oh, can he be dressed as the coffee talk lady from SNL?
Like butter.
Perfect. I love that.
And Tina Fey looks up and goes, oh my God, Coffee Talk. I used to love that. And he just like, I don't know. How does he kill her?
He should say, I'm about to murder you. Discuss.
And then he buries her with 30 rocks.
Nice.
30 rock is about neither rocks nor 30. Discuss. And just beheads her.
This is vicious, but I love it.
I removed your head like butter.
Like butter.
I don't like these Northeastern women. I just don't. But then again, okay, so Tina Fey's just been killed.
We all know that's why you moved, Connor.
Wait a second. I just read some important information.
Go, Josh.
So, for the Cat in the Hat, Tim Allen was originally cast as the Cat in the Hat,
but he had to
drop out because of he was filming the Santa Claus 2. So they went with Mike Myers instead. So he absolutely has to go after like a coked up Tim Allen as revenge for making him star in the Cat in the Hat.
Oh my God. You know what? Sure, why not?
So he's searching for Eddie Murphy in the house, right? And he's hearing some commotion and he goes out and he just happens to find the door to the garage. And in the garage is a coked up Tim Allen. Like so high that he thinks he's
in the middle of shooting a line.
Oh God, this is horrible.
Shooting a line off of like a power drill, making some crack about tool time.
It's tool time,
and snorting a line of coke. And he comes out, and Mike Myers just picks up the drill that he just shot coke off of, and
right through the eyeball.
He's gotta drill it, you know, drill it into his head and stuff like that. But he's gotta say something to him as he's killing him. What's he gotta say?
And he's the Cat in the Hat while he's doing this, right?
Oh, he's correct. Absolutely the Cat in the Hat as he does it.
There's like blood spraying all over like his like the Cat in the Hat costume.
I'm trying to think of quick rhymes. We might have to like pause so that I can come up with something fun, but I think it should be, or someone else. Beat me to it. Come on. You guys can do it too. Come on, Connor. You're the rhyme king. Come on. Under pressure.
You made me do Cat in the Hat. I'm really upset about that. But now I'm going to murder you, beat you to death with my shoe. I don't know.
So what was your first line? You made me do Cat in the Hat.
Yes.
I'm really upset with that. And then your next line was,
now I'm going to murder you.
And so you'll be my next kill with this brand new DeWalt power drill.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, you made me do Cat in the Hat. I'm really upset about that, but now you'll be my next kill with this DeWalt power drill.
And I know this was nobody's intention, but that is an unintentional reference to Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which does feature a drill kill and does not feature Michael Myers.
Ha! Well,
can we get DeWalt to sponsor this podcast, or will they sue us for bringing them up?
Tell you what, if you would prefer that we edit in the name of your power drill company, feel free to reach out to us and we will gladly change the name.
It will sound super awkward, but we'll do it for the money.
This brand new Black & Decker power drill.
I love overdubbed brand names.
No, it should be super, we should overdub it with the voice of Gilbert Gottfried. This new Black & Decker power drill.
This brand new Black & Decker power drill.
We could have it be Arnold Schwarzenegger. This new Black & Decker power drill.
Or just swap out the product entirely for whoever wants to sponsor us, regardless of whether or not it rhymes. You know.
Yeah, right.
With this brand new Tampax Pearl Heavy Flow.
Oh, God.
We're willing to give up the rhyme joke just for sponsorship money. That's what sluts we are for.
That's what Joe Rogan would do.
Which is exactly a Wayne's World reference. I just think it's so upsetting how many people will do something just because they get paid to do it.
Yeah, insert Pizza Hut as he pulls up in the box. That's one of my favorite scenes in that movie.
This beverage that I'm drinking is delicious. I wonder what it is.
And then it's a Pepsi. Hot take, Wayne's World is my favorite Mike Myers movie.
I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's a very good movie.
Yeah, that's a good one to choose.
Oh, it's fantastic, but most people would prefer Austin Powers. Most people that I talk to anyway.
It depends on the mood.
Who's Mike Myers killing next?
So after he leaves the garage, he's still on the hunt for Eddie Murphy, but he is, you know, hunting all over for him, nice and slow-like. And he's got to run into some kind of person that, because he hasn't gotten injured yet. And Mike Myers did get injured. He got stabbed with a knitting needle. He got shot a couple times. He got thrown off a balcony. Like he got injured. So yeah.
I know who injures him.
Do it. Do it.
Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy with, you know, all the weapons the that gang. He uses in the fight. Yeah. With the with all the news.
Channel five news team or whatever.
I think it's a channel four news team. Like, you know, Brick Tamlin and the Cham Khan and the rest of that crew, Brian Fantana. So basically, he runs into all of them, and they're in the middle of a fight, and they're able to, like, wound him. Brick throws his trident at him, but it does not kill Mike Myers. They think it kills him because they actually ran into Eddie Murphy earlier, and he told them about Mike Myers. So they said, if you see Mike Myers, you have to kill him. So Mike Myers was running around as Dr. Evil, for his next kill, and then Will Ferrell and the rest of the Channel 4 news team from Anchorman killed him, or did that. They think they killed him, but he is in fact only wounded, and soon he's able to survive and go on to his next kill.
To be clear, is it a situation where they're like hunting him down, or is it more like they're having the fight with the other news crews, and it just so happens that Mike's, you know, walks through it?
I kind of like the second one. I like the idea of them having a fight with Vince Vaughn and the rest of the news crew, and then this happens.
Okay, good deal.
So lots of carnage, lots of violence, all that kind of stuff. And then Mike Myers comes in because he sees Will Ferrell and wants to kill him because he's also jealous of Will Ferrell's career. But then Will Ferrell and the Channel 4 news team end up killing him as part of the general crossfire of it all.
But then he does the patented sit-up.
Yes. And then he's alive after that, after the police come, but then Mike Myers comes back.
Yes.
Comes back to life.
And as he's, you know, once he gets up, dusts himself off and keeps walking, can we have him walk by a car containing Dennis Miller and Norm Macdonald arguing about something minute and political, and he just blows the car up or something? And people cheer.
Sure, why not? That's absurd, but I love it. There being the droll 90s white guy from SNL hosting Weekend Update. Weekend Update has always been hosted by droll white guys. It's a tradition.
For the most part, yes.
Oh, Tina Fey did it.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They broke
That's right. World. And they're just great and everything. I like that. Killing more SNL people. At this point, Eddie Murphy should be just frantically running to anybody who will listen to him.
Well, I think that there's a false sense of security, because if he told his friends that there, you know, are these bad guys running around, and then he sees the battle take place and he sees Mike Myers go down, just like Jamie Lee Curtis after she kind of like, you know, stabs him and he goes down and she kind of takes a sigh of relief before he sits back up. I think that he thinks momentarily that it's over. And when Mike Myers sits back up, he immediately begins to be going after Eddie Murphy immediately.
Yes.
I like that. That works.
Just in the heat of all that, they're running around a swimming pool together and stuff. And maybe in his, you know, I would say he's running around, but people in horror movies don't run in straight lines. They don't run well, and they always trip over something. So what's Eddie Murphy going to trip over while he's trying to run from Mike Myers?
Does it have to be something special, or can it just be like a hose?
It can be anything. Yeah. Just, I mean, if it's a DVD copy of The Love Guru that they tried to burn in the fire pit the night before, like anything.
How do you trip over a box? Those DVD boxes are like 2 inches high.
Better question, how do you trip over nothing if you're a girl in a horror movie? You have your own 2 feet and you're running. There is nothing impeding you, and yet you still somehow manage to fall. So
because the script says so, Laura.
I think you answered your own question when you said you're a girl in a horror movie.
Yes, girls in horror movies have to die.
That's what Eddie Murphy is taking the place of right now.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, there are a few final boys that we see in some classic slashers. It's not as common, but certainly it does happen.
That's true.
Girls get killed more in horror movies. It's the sad reality of the situation.
Well, it's also important to realize that this slasher is sort of the one that set the famous rules that they make fun of, but also adhere to in things like Scream. So, yes. You know, we've made clear that some of these rules we've acted on. So, you know, they say don't do drugs. Well, we killed off Tim the Toolman Taylor while, you know, he's snorting cocaine. Don't have sex. Don't say I'll be right back.
Maybe Tina Fey said I'll be right back and went to the bathroom, and that's when she that's when she got killed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if she trips over an extremely large special edition of The Love Guru, that would be pretty funny.
Let's go with that.
Man, I think this is symbolic of something.
So he trips in the yard, and that allows Mike Myers to catch up to him. Mike Myers grabs him by the throat. He's dressed as what now? Is it still Shrek again?
Who haven't we done? I think have we had him?
Goldmember?
Oh, yeah, we haven't had him as Goldmember from Austin Powers.
So Goldmember, he grabs him by the throat and is going to drown him in the pool or something like that. He's going to drag him very slowly, and Eddie Murphy is struggling and struggling and struggling. And, of course, Goldmember is talking to Eddie Murphy, like, in his fake Dutch accent, saying, I am Dutch. Isn't that so cool? I'm going to kill you. Isn't that so cool? And Eddie Murphy's just freaking out. You like that? You like that? Pull that right out of my ass.
Reminder that there's an actual line in that movie that is, hey, everyone, I am from Holland. Isn't that weird?
Oh, that's what the line is. Okay, my bad.
You got so, Laura, not gonna lie, so close. You got so close.
So close. A plus for your effort. Yes. So he takes him to the pool. He's gonna drown him, and that is just when playing Queen's
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody blasting out of this shitty little car, blasts into the backyard, Dana Carvey. He screeches to a halt and he's screaming, Mike, don't do it. And of course, Mike as gone Wayne. Full, Mike as gold member, gone completely full method, like looks up and goes, Mike, who's Mike? And Dana's like, okay, this guy used to be my friend. I know how he thinks. I know that he gets into method acting really, really well. I'm going to have to do this. Rummages in the back of his seat, not for a gun to shoot him, but for a nasty blonde wig and an old black hat, and puts it on and dons it and comes around the corner of the car and goes, whoa, Wayne, dude. And
slowly cocks a gun behind his back. Party on, Wayne.
Wait, what is this? A Mice and Men? He has to kill his best friend?
Yes, yes, he does, because it's a fucking horror movie.
Dr. Loomis has to kill his patient.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So
he yells at him, Wayne, man, don't do it, Wayne. This is not how we party.
Wayne, you know, we don't do this. We don't kill people on Halloween. We just want to have fun and listen to heavy metal.
And that one guy in the background from the Wayne's World movie, I love you, man.
If you're going to spew into this.
Oh my god. I hope to god someone puts crickets right there.
That can be very easily arranged. But that's a line from the movie. To be fair, that's a line from the movie.
So Mike Myers, seeing Dana Carvey as Garth, morphs into Wayne and drops Eddie Murphy and starts going for Dana Carvey, whether it's to reunite with him or whether it's to murder him now instead, who knows, but he starts coming toward him. And so Dana and Mike are having this conversation. And as Mike is getting closer, Dana Carvey is cocking the gun behind him.
Wait, I have an idea. It's going to sound really crazy. It's going to sound really fucking crazy.
Okay, because everything was perfectly logical till just now.
Okay, so what if Arnold Schwarzenegger, dressed up as Mr. Freeze, comes up behind him, freezes him, and he ends up being in cryostasis like in... Austin, which Austin Powers is that, where he wakes up out of crowd?
Something about his mojo.
Yeah, he lost his mojo.
Yeah, yeah, and that can be the sequel.
The Spy Who Shagged Me, I think.
Yes, that's right.
That could be the sequel, someone unfrosts him.
Well, it's also important to realize, though, Michael Myers does not die.
Correct. So going off of that, Arnold Schwarzenegger pounds through the back of the crowd and says, all right, everybody, chill, and just freezes Mike Myers as Wayne in a big old ice cube. Wayne falls over and bobs as an ice cube in the pool, like an ice cube balancing at the top of a scotch glass. And
are you looking at anything in particular right now, Laura?
I plead the fifth.
There's no scotch left in that glass.
How did you know this?
No, there's no ice left.
Yeah. I plead the fifth of Jack. And of course everybody thinks that it's over, and so they take the frozen, cryogenically stored Mike Myers out of the pool, and Dana Carvey is going to take him to a storage facility.
Alright, I like that.
This is another situation where it's being handled by top men.
Yes, it is.
I think it's more like on the way there, somebody hits one too many speed bumps. And like the block of ice flies out of the back of the car and busts open, and a half frozen Mike Myers like wakes up and just walks off into the woods.
Sort of like how Michael Myers always sits up in the body bag and kills the paramedic in the back of the ambulance.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Does Eddie Murphy, as the ambulance is driving away, hey Dana, was that the boogeyman? Yeah, Eddie, I think that was the boogeyman.
Dana and Eddie Murphy have to exchange like some last minute words, like, you know, it's okay, you're safe now type of stuff.
But so they say, okay, you're safe, but then we set up the sequel because Mike Myers is frozen in ice And what if the last shot of the movie is his hand bursting through the ice?
Well, that's what we were saying before, where he falls out of the ambulance and then suddenly the hand comes out and he like claws his way out.
What if he gets run? Wait, what if he falls out? He's in the middle of the road and then just like an 18-wheeler hits the ice.
Oh God, that's horrible.
What, and kills him or breaks him out?
Well, he can't die, so it just breaks him out.
And he do his "I'm a leprechaun." Smash! I'm a leprechaun.
I'm a leprechaun.
And then it cuts to black, and then that's the credits.
Yeah, as the creepy music plays.
Oh, I don't know. It would be kind of cool to have like a final shot of him putting like a William Shatner mask on.
William Shatner's the guy driving the truck. He gets out to see what's going on and stuff.
Yeah, that would be a cool cameo.
We should tell Edgar Wright about this idea that we had, because in the movie Baby Driver, they tell him to get Michael Myers masks for when they're about to rob the bank, but then they get the guy gets Austin Powers masks instead, which is a pretty funny gag. So
what a snafu!
he would appreciate this, and he'd probably like this podcast in general. So also, maybe Edgar Wright wants to get in on our Power Drill sponsorship. There's an idea.
And now I'm going to kill you with this new Edgar Wright film coming out in theaters August 28th, 2021.
Assuming we're all still alive.
They're so desperate for money to make the movie that they have to just put random like products in everywhere.
Then, I mean, that's a lot of movies are like that. In Batman v Superman, there's sponsorship every 10 seconds.
Yep. All the cars that movies use.
Oh my God, yeah. It's also just trash in general. I think we've set up the sequel. We finished the film. What else do we need? We should have, what if there's an end credit scene where all the SNL cast members he didn't kill are just hanging out like, thank God he didn't get us. Like Jimmy Fallon sitting around like, thank God he didn't get us, or
laughing at his own jokes.
Yeah, Jimmy, absolutely, yes. Who else would be there? Like maybe Amy Poehler is glad. You know, Bill Hader is glad. Rob Schneider is there for some reason. And then Mike Myers just bursts through the door, and that's how we. And that's the like. And then that leaves the audience like wanting more.
That could be the post credit scene.
No, yeah. Post credit scene. That's the post credit scene.
So it says like 1 year later, and you see a bunch of SNL characters sitting in a circle in like the bottom of a rec center. And it's the Mike Myers support group. And it's all of the SNL characters. And some of them are having existential crises like, wasn't I important enough to try to kill? Like, I thought that we had like a good time together. But he didn't even try to kill me.
Cut to Bill Hader as Stefan. My PTSD has everything. Panic attacks, anxiety, MTV's Dan Cortez.
We should have Christopher Walken as the cowbell guy. He's like, I know I wasn't a regular cast member, but I thought I was important enough to murder.
Yeah. You've got a couple of like his other co-actors that he's been in movies with together, like, you know, and of course there's some, how shall I say this, this person leading the group that is trying to give them some, you know, spiritual advice, and they're asking them questions like, how did that make you feel? And some of the actors are like, well, I'm just really scared because it's Halloween, and what if he comes again and they never found his body and all of this stuff. And some of the actors are like, well, I'm not really scared. Like, I think he's gone. He would never come for me. Like, we were best buds. We were really good buds. And all of a sudden the door closes and everyone turns quickly to the rec center, and they just see someone facing with their back to them, facing the closed double doors.
And they
just see the back of him, and he slowly turns around. And who is it?
Cameron Diaz?
No, it has to be a Mike Myers character, right?
Oh, is that what we're going with?
Yeah, it's Mike Myers is back.
The British guy from Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, we haven't had him yet. You know, smashing.
And he just turns around and he looks and he goes, well, how smashing. You're all in one place at the same time. Terribly convenient, terribly convenient. And the lights just go to black.
That's it. That's the end. Good work, y'all.
Excellent. Now we just need 13 sequels, one with Busta Rhymes, two directed by a famous rock star that makes it overly graphic and dark, and then a reboot that ignores all the other rest of the movies and is a direct sequel to the first. Oh, and one that doesn't have the main killer in it.
Yes.
And don't forget that you need one that says that the whole reason why he's doing it is secretly a curse or something anyways.
The curse of Mike Myers.
Yeah, because the final person, in this case Eddie Murphy, is related to him, which that's kind of fun.
Sure, let's go with it. Why the hell not?
Oh, right. God.
None of it makes any sense, but none of our episodes make any sense. So thank you for listening. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie.
Laura, you want a drinky?
All
right, Laura, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Connor, play us out.
Excellent. I'm gonna start killing everyone. Yeah, baby, yeah. It's Halloween night, and everyone's dressed up. The kids will get candy and eat till they're stuffed. I see movie stars in the nice houses that they bought. I'll totally let them live. Not! But how will I kill them? I don't own a gun. But knives and handhelds, they're so much more fun. The whole town is out for some nice trick or treat. But this Canadian will make them dead meat. It's Halloween night, it's Halloween night. I'm here to bring some fright. It's a scare you won't forget. You better start running. Ready, set. Now I'm going to switch over to Dr. Evil, because I can switch characters as Mike Myers. I can change shape and switch identity. That way the cops can't possibly find me. I don't need sharks with lasers on their head. My sharp knives can make SNL alone dead. First, Eddie Murphy, he makes so much more than me. And Adam Sandler won't live to make Grown Ups 3. Next, I'll find Will Ferrell and kill his fat ass. It's much more efficient than ill-tempered sea bass. Halloween night, Halloween night. I'm here to bring some fright. It's a scare you won't forget. You better start running. Ready, set. Now it's time for me to become Austin Powers. I'm still gonna kill people though, yeah. While the kids are out getting their candy, parents are upstairs and they're nice and randy. I'm mostly known for getting a good shag, but now I'm putting them all in a body bag. I finish the kill, then switch character. They can't find me and I get away with murder. Next I'll be Shrek, Fat Bastard, Cat in the Hat. And when you think you killed me, I'll come back, yeah. Halloween night, Halloween night, I'm here to bring some fright. It's a scare you won't forget. You better start running. Ready, set. Thank you so much for listening to this excellent episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to support us, like, subscribe, and if you're listening on Apple, rate us 5 stars. We're available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for which movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.